show of true friendship and true brotherhood is when you go through your ups and downs and you're still together.
Don't get bitter, you get better.
Their family, dedicated to growing and building an empire.
Like Bill, who really gonna stop us?
They came on the scene so fast that many called them an overnight success.
You know, it looked like it was overnight success, but you really don't know to understand the journey.
They share their stories of success and failure that no one ever shared with them.
Nobody was committed to us as young guys.
Yeah.
If we could have went and got the advice that we give these kids, man, we might not have never ended up in jail.
Wallow and Gilly, now on The Pulse. Guys, welcome to another episode of The Pulse. You know what we do. People who are doing big things, they share their story, they inspire. And I'm always excited when I get to sit down with folks who I've been able to, at least from a distance, kind of watch the journey. You said what you were going to do, they're doing it. So Gilly is here, Wallow is here on The Pulse. Gentlemen, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us, man.
Thanks, Bill.
I feel like with you guys, because you guys do podcasts, you do a little bit of everything. To ask, what are you doing now, is such an open-ended, you know, concept. Mm-hmm. So you got Gaming League?
Yes.
Yeah, Global Gaming League.
All right, what is that?
Global Gaming League is a league where, as though the gamer finally could be a star. You know, gaming bringing more revenue than TV, music, you know, you name it, movies. And you know, 3.5 billion people are gamers. The average gamer is around 43% are women. This is the real deal.
Like this is rattling off stats.
Yeah, this is the real deal, you know.
Okay.
So, you know, we're going to play against Howie Mandel team on November 18th. November 29th is going to be on YouTube to see a Global Gaming League everywhere. So it's like we just doing our thing, man.
Just jumping into all kinds of business.
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, gaming is so big, and you know, in retrospect of what's going on in the world, gaming is like the biggest thing. So when you get an opportunity to get in something that's that big, I think you should jump at it.
Mm-hmm. So that's the newest thing, I guess,
yes,
that you're working on right now.
Yes.
Now that you got a KO party coming up.
Yeah. GWKOparty.com.
Yes.
That's where fighters can sign up. You know, Gillian Wallow Knockout Party is the most entertaining boxing in the world.
I saw that.
Absolutely. No boxing is more entertaining than Gillian Wallow Knockout
Absolutely.
Party.
Absolutely.
Because at any day, the fireman can fight a registered nurse.
The mailman can fight a trash man.
You know what I mean? It could be anybody.
Little people can twerk on Gilly.
All that type of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, all
of that. A little bit of stuff. Anything could go on.
Absolutely. But that's the best form of entertainment.
Mm-hmm. And we bring it to Philadelphia for the first time.
And we bring it to Philadelphia for the first time. So we're going to be at the 2300 Arena. You know what I mean? December 19th. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to bring a great time to Philly.
Yeah.
Y'all are involved. I was telling you before we started that Wallow was here. I think you were my second guest on The Pulse. Yanla came on, and then you came on the following week. And that's been, what, 3 years now? Three, 4 years since then. And you had all sorts of things you wanted to do. Mm-hmm. Like at that point, you were talking about stuff. You had merch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you were talking about. Do you ever, I mean, like, silly question, because I guess you believed it. But you believed you would get to all this?
We believe anything. We believe we could do anything because we just doers. You got to stand. Our life wasn't always perfect as it is now. And when we was on the other side of life, we would try anything. We didn't care. So now we over this side, we're fearless. It's like, what can't we do? Like, I just think once we think of something and we, you know, idealize, conceptualize, we just materialize. We just going after what we believe in. Like, like Bill, who really going to stop us? Nobody's
right
going
now,
to get
nobody.
In your way out here. Yeah. Ain't nobody, and they ain't talking about it in a challenging way. I'm just saying nobody's going to get in your way, and nobody is really worrying about it, worrying about what you're doing, because a lot of people don't even believe in themselves. So we just people that believe we can do anything. And you know what I mean? What's going to happen if it don't happen? Nothing. We're going to do something else. But we just going to keep trying things and being like, you know, we experimental. We don't care. You know what I mean? But most things pop because we believe in it, and we put the energy necessary, you know, for it to come to life.
Was that always him, and was that always you? Just, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
Okay.
Even when we was younger, you know, he was into rap, you know, way before I was. But once I got into it, he, even though he younger than me, he was always like, yo, we could do this, yo. Master P and them there.
Because he didn't even know how good he was. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, yo, no, this is not regular. You know what I'm saying? Because he didn't care about that, because he was playing basketball. got a scholarship, you know what I mean, to Cabrini, played for Ben Franklin. So he like, man, you know, this is where I'm at. I'm like, this is also something too. Like, you know, this is like, you know, an option. But, you know, I guess sometimes it takes other people to see your greatness. Because something, you know, it'd be people that just be organically great. And when it comes to music, he was just organically great. And he didn't even like, when you're organically great, you don't even be knowing it because it's just normal to you.
Right.
Like, it's, you think it's just normal. No, that's not normal. You know what I mean? And it takes some time people to see, no, that ain't regular. Everybody can't just do that. And, you know, and then when it came to basketball, he was one of the, he's on record for being the shortest basketball player in the history of college basketball. Yeah. And so that, you know, that's a record. It's record breaking. It's a record to have. And that's probably why.
Don't y'all believe that?
See, that's the hard part, man. That's because he says everything with such just the delivery.
No, that's probably why things didn't go his way.
People sit back and go, oh, for real? There's somebody at home right now going. They're going to be sitting there.
And that was you for a second. And he's like, right. No. Didn't register like that. Gilly ain't that short.
He ain't that short. Like, I've lived through Muggsy Bogues.
Right.
And people like that.
Muggsy taller than him.
Right.
He's taller than him. Bud Webb.
All of that.
It's all in there.
Okay, you could play a little bit, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
You always believed in that, too? I see you out there dominating celebrity games, competitions with people.
I believed in that more than anything.
Really?
Yes.
You went out and played in the three-on-three?
Yeah.
Big three. Big three.
Yeah.
Okay.
Two-time MVP.
Three-time MVP.
My fault.
I'm putting those three-time MVP.
Almost, yeah.
Was this relationship, and watching you guys, and I've been kind of following, I remember the articles when you first got out. The articles that were in the Daily News, and you're taping your phone, you know, to the side of the fence and doing all that kind of stuff. And the relationship between you guys, we've seen more of it over the years. Mm-hmm. Was it always this kind of close relationship? Like, y'all say stuff to each other where people on the outside are going, like, either that would be a problem with me and my family, or they must be so cool that y'all can just go ahead and have fun with
ourselves. We don't like the problem with most people out here, Bill, they just not comfortable with themselves. Okay. I don't.
And it's my little cousin. I used to wash him up in the tub.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Whatever. Like, but you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like
he just discovered AI, man.
Yeah. Oh yes, he did.
you just discovered
I
this.
I love it.
Y'all follow him on social media.
He's finally catching up with me. I'm not. He's finally getting back. I've been roasting him for years.
Yeah, it's a problem. Because we're sitting there watching. It's just like what you just said about being the shortest player.
Right.
You're sitting here talking about a prison riot broke out at Greaterford. And I'm going, yo, Wallo was involved in a prison riot? Because we're putting all this stuff together.
I was on a date and caught on fire. I don't know. I really don't know about that.
I love the AI apps, though. Shout out to Sora.
I read your book.
Yes.
I'm reading the book. I'm going through the process, knowing you a little bit. I'm like, all right, this is the part where he gets it and stops getting into trouble.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't. And then it was. Yeah. No, for real. Like, no, you're reading it.
He
went back
know.
And talked the whole story about, this is the one that's going to change my life. And I saw this, this, and this.
Then he got caught with a cell phone.
Yeah. But that's how I learned all this.
Yeah?
Yeah, you know, when I got the cell phone, I was in grades for it, and my life changed. Because it showed me that the world was big and it was waiting for all of us. And it also showed me that most people was in the free world playing games. It was more people incarcerated mentally in the free world than it was physically incarcerated. Because people were just afraid, they was afraid to fly. Ain't nobody want to do nothing. You got all, I'm like, hold up, you mean to tell me you got this technology and you ain't doing no what? Like, even with Gil was out here, but he was one of the first dudes that was attacking anything, MySpace, everything that was coming out. He kept attacking YouTube. He was like getting on stuff like first and really trying to like explore the possibilities of where you could go with using these platforms. So when I seen it, I'm like, hold up, you could do this, you this. Why more people not doing it? I didn't understand it.
Yeah.
I'm like, hold up, people really playing with this? Because for us to grow up with, you know, cheese line phones where there's only one line on the phone and we got to wait till somebody get off to get on, hoping your mom and a girlfriend finish talking so you call your little lady friend that you got. Like, we lived in a real live situation, whereas though we couldn't just look on a device. And, you know, how we grew up, Bill. The only way you could find something, if you went to a library, you had to find it in a book. And first, you got to find the book.
They had that little system when you go to the library. You had to look up the numbers and everything.
All that stuff, you got to go through the file. This is before the computers and all that. So I'm like, hold up. They got computers out there in your pocket? People walking around with computers in their pocket? Oh, yeah, they playing games.
Why did it, in reading the book, you first got got in trouble or got locked up at 17?
Yeah, no, 17 is when I was turned, when I got the long time. I first got locked up June 30th, 1990. I was 11.
At 11?
I was 11, yeah.
You sitting there saying it and kind of rolling
17,
your eyes.
He had already had 5 years in before.
Yeah, I got, you know what I mean? So it was like, you know, you trying to, like, you, the hardest thing is this. When you grow up in our environment that we grew up in, you know, everybody, you want to be down. You're trying to figure yourself out. You got identity crisis. You're impressionable. And you're just trying to find things out and figure your life out. Even you're young, but it's a lot of pressure when you're living in the inner cities because you see all this stuff going on. You got some people telling you to do good, but it's like the bad is outweighing the good. The bad encouragement is outweighing the good. And, you know, I just ain't know who I was. You know what I mean? Yeah. And got caught up. You get caught up.
There's a lot of talent across from me sitting here in this table. And Gilly, why did it take so long? Like, when once he got out and once y'all started doing your thing, people would sit back and say, wow, they were successful almost overnight. Mm-hmm. Why did it take so long to become an overnight success? Like, why did you, what did it?
Well, nothing don't really come overnight. Nothing that's worth it. You know what I mean? It's some people that, you know, it looked like it was overnight success, but you really don't know to understand the journey. You don't understand how much work they put in. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you, like, prime example, all of my white people, my white fans, that's from the Philadelphia area, that's like 55 or older.
Okay.
They all think I'm famous for dancing for the Eagles.
Right.
Like, they're like, Billy, come here, it's the Eagles guys. It's like, damn, like I've been out here working for 30 years. I'm the Eagles guy.
Yeah, that's funny. Like, that'd be funny to me.
It's like, dude, a white guy, 75 years old, he's like, hey, man, I love your song. Blow the whistle. And I'm like, that's not my song. That's Two Shirts' song.
But it's crazy.
That's how it is, you know. So a lot of times people think that with anybody, oh, because they might have just found out about you. How do you feel? You know, actually, a lady asked me that. How does it feel? And I was like, how does what feel? And she was like, just being an overnight success. And I was like, what?
I'll be me personally.
So for me, it's like, you know,
I'll be thinking it's funny.
Long as you know me.
I be thinking,
as long as you're aware of what I got going on, that's all that matters.
I be thinking it's funny because it's like, you know, people that know, like Gil been in the music industry for years, but independently he made millions of dollars. Like putting his own DVDs out, putting his own music out, mixtapes, at the mixtapes. I'm talking about features, doing shows over the years, selling, I'm talking about, like, and I don't think people understand that. Like, and it's crazy that you get, sometimes he forget all that you done. You know what I'm saying? Because you've done so much. I'm talking about done so much in the music game. Like, I'm talking about made a bunch of paper off that. So it was like, he been here.
You talked about, and you've been doing this for years. You're talking about hip hop and all of that. And and to some extent have lived a very public life for years.
Yeah.
When we talked last time, when you came, actually we talked the Super Bowl, but when we talked the first time, and you talked about this growth, this success, what we're going to do. I saw the post. The first time you guys signed the big podcast contract.
That was second time. You just didn't see the first time.
You didn't post the first one?
Nah.
Okay, so I saw the one where it was millions of dollars that was very public and out there. You talked about the growth and the success. Mm-hmm. Now that you have it, is it everything was cracked up to be?
You know, no, it just makes us go harder to do more.
Okay.
Because like you can see, we very creative people, like we got our minds is always running, and we real responsible dudes, like we real big on taking care of our family. So when you're a responsible man, you don't see no chill moment, because we live for our family, and that's our main number one thing. How do we continue to turn it up to put security on our family? That's it. You see what I'm saying? We're not the dudes that operate. It's like, because it ain't too much stuff that we ain't do.
Is it the same, Gil? Because you were already publicly out there doing hip-hop stuff. But on this level, you're talking about people know you for dancing. People know you for promotion.
Mm-hmm.
People know you for Eagles. People know you for hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
Is it harder living your life now on that level of public exposure? Or just used
to? No. I mean, just being honest, no. It's not harder because when you... when you have acquired more money, life always should be a little easier for mm-hmm. you, because you don't have the financial difficulties of life. You don't have certain difficulties that the majority of the world have. You don't have those difficulties. You know what I mean? So when you grow up in the ghetto, your whole life is based off survival. Mm-hmm. Month to month, week to week, day to day. When you finally get away from that portion of it, whereas though now I'm not living on a day-to-day, month-to-month, week-to-week survival basis, financially I'm good. If anybody says that life isn't better, then they're lying. You know what I mean? Because I don't have the pressures of worrying about financial things. Now, you got pressures of worrying about other things, my kids, my wife, my mom, my dad, my nieces, my nephews. But to be financially free and not have to worry about how your bills gonna get paid, how if a person say that life ain't better for them in that aspect, then I look at it like they're lying.
So the stuff that the silly stuff we see, the beefing with Cam Newton, the social media back and forth, in the general scheme of things, those are small things. Like
that's just entertainment.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, if we're doing anything that we're doing in this space mm-hmm. and it's not entertaining, what we here for? Okay, I mean, this is called the entertainment business. If you're not entertaining, then that means you're a dry entertainer. I don't know too many people that's like, I can't wait to get up and watch this dry-ass entertainer. Like, right. Oh, my God, I love him. He's so damn dry. Like, he's so bland, and I just love it. So if you're not here to entertain, then what are we talking about? Then you should probably go and say, let me try something different.
So it's just fun. It's just fun, and it's just
and
working
we don't
out.
Care. When you master the art of not giving a, I can.
This is recorded, so do what you feel.
When you master the art of not giving a, mm-hmm. that's when you truly win.
That's when your wings.
You got to understand, I'm viral right now for dancing in a Ludacris video back in 1999 that I never danced in. Like, that wasn't me. He posted it. He posted it making fun because the guy looked like me, and that was everywhere. And everybody's posting up Gilly twerking in Ludacris video. Now, if I wasn't secure with myself, I would care. I don't give a f- what you think, because I know that wasn't me twerking in Ludacris video.
And so, every time they talk about it, that's more engagement and bigger checks.
Right. But you got to understand, like, he posted it, and Young Thug hit me dead serious. Like, is this you, OG? And I'm like,
nah.
Like, twerking in Ludacris video. No, that wouldn't be me, Neff. That would not be me. So, but if you care, the problem is so many people care.
Yeah.
And we don't.
The book. Mm-hmm. In reading the book, you share a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of your story was out there through various interviews and what have you. But if you read the book, you're hearing and seeing a lot of stuff. Why'd you decide to do it? And how has the feedback been? Are you happy that all of that is out there now?
Yeah, I always was an open book anyway. On most of my interviews, I tell my story. Me and Gil talk about the story. You know, it's like, you know, it definitely was good. But I got a new book ready to come out. You know what I mean?
Okay.
The top of January, Yes to You, No to Them. The discipline of saying no and the freedom that follows. So, you know what I'm saying? It's about choosing you. But I'm happy with everything that happened, but I'm on to the next one now. So, it's just about the future.
Both of you guys in following. So, the $1 million worth of game.
Yep. Yes.
The what's the sports show called for the Eagles game?
No. Gilly on Sports.
Gilly on Sports.
Okay. Yes. Were you basically just sitting there smoking your own weed, talking about it? Okay, weed brand.
That's major. Yes. His own. You see,
you got your own,
yes.
His own brand of weed.
I have 9 strands. Yes, I have Gilly Wonka. I have Zoot Loops. I have Buddy Ryan. I have Slap Your Mama. I have Mule Kick. And I have Perp 30 in Pennsylvania dispensaries. And then in New Jersey dispensaries, I have joint custody. I'm sorry. Real. They back there laughing.
We're on camera laughing. We're on camera laughing. Like,
it's real.
I got joint custody. I got Sticky Bobby. If you're not first, you're last.
How?
And I got Big Potato Kush.
So how? I mean, I guess it makes sense if we've watched the show.
Yeah, well, I got a few grow facilities, you know what I mean? A few 15,000 square foot grow facilities, you know what I mean? And starting next month, we'll be in Massachusetts and Florida. I'm turning Massachusetts into Gassachusetts.
And going down.
I'm sorry, the production people are dying.
Look, it's a good story.
Tell them about the gas station.
I'm opening up three dispensaries this year.
Okay.
Actual gas stations. They're going to be called Gilly's gas stations, but they're going to be actual gas stations. That's they won't be selling the actual gas. They'll be selling the gas.
The grass
but
gas.
But it's actual gas stations that there will be dispensaries that I'm opening up this year.
See, y'all, when you talk about you believe that you can do anything, y'all sincerely believe you can and will do anything.
I just asked you, who's going to stop you? Nobody. Nobody's
I mean, listening to you rattle off the stuff you're doing, that's a solid message. You can do whatever
Nobody
you think cares. About.
Nobody's going to stop you.
Because I was like, okay, we're going to open up three dispensaries this year. And then we was like, well, what should we name? I was like, the gas station. Then I was like, damn. We should actually buy gas stations.
Yo, were you high when you had this conversation?
Exactly. I'm always high. I'm fried right now talking to you.
It's always.
Smoked one on the way here. Mm-hmm. Actually got one rolled up for you in the car if you got a little break after that.
See, you guys, in following again on social media, on Million Dollars Worth of Game, on the traveling, a lot of times you guys will do what some people just don't feel safe doing. You guys, I'd imagine, just get out the car, go in the community, just hanging out with people. First, why? And two, how comfortable has that been? Like, you're walking into situations, people watching.
Man, from the community. Mm-hmm. Yeah. From the community. And I truly fear nothing but God. So I feel like whenever it's your time, man, it's your time. The expiration date has already been determined. So whenever it's your time, it's your time. I can't get these kids game, guidance, attention, motivation, and education, but at the same time be scared of them.
Right.
So if I'm going to give you some game and I expect you to take the game that I'm giving to you and apply it in your life, but I'm scared to come around y'all kids, then it's kind of a mockery in itself. You know what I mean?
You can't teach what you don't know. You can't lead where you don't go.
Yeah. So you guys own the responsibility. I've had this conversation with people that I can sit here as somebody hosting this show, working in TV, and talk to young people, but not with the same authenticity that you guys can. Because I can say don't make those decisions, but I haven't experienced the consequences or the turnaround of what happened. So you own the fact that you have that voice that needs to be shared with young people.
Absolutely. I understand that, you know, a lot of times when you're dealing with the youth, they only really respect it when they know you actually been in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, nah, this guy that's talking to me, he actually was in my shoes before. You know what I mean? So if you in the streets, you smart enough to understand that don't nothing come out the streets but jail or death. I'm still in the streets though, but don't nothing come out of this shit but jail or death. He did 20 years. So it's like when he go to tell you something, it's like, I've been shot before. So when I go to tell you something, it's like, I can really respect it because I know that they actually been through the things that I'm probably going to go through or the things that I'm going through. So I can respect it a little bit more when it's coming from them. And then we going to get, then the youngins respect it coming from us because we don't talk at them, we talk to them. We respect them as young men. Most older people, they talking at the young person. We like, listen, now, if you could do what you want to do, but we telling you that you go down that road, it might be a bumpy road for you. We ain't going to tell you not to go down there. We just going to tell you what's going to happen if you do go down there. At the end of the day, nephew, you a grown man. You going to choose to do what you going to choose to do. So we ain't going, we not going to sit here and beat no drums that's not working. We just going to let you know, you go down there, nephew, it could turn dark for you.
In the book, you shared that was a scary path. And that's not something that a lot of people, when you're talking to young people, the whole image is to not be scared, to be tough enough to handle it, to do all of that. You know, and you shared with them the vulnerable side of it also.
Man, I was scared to death. Man, I called Gil one time, man, telling him how scared I was.
As soon as he got there, dude pinched his ass, man.
He thought I was joking. I was like, yo, it's hostile up in this joint. Like, you, the thing about me is, one thing about us, we don't do no lying. We don't care. Like, anybody else care? Like, what good is I'm knowing that I was scared in jail to come out here and tell these kids something else? What, I'm encouraging them? Like, no, it's cool? No. I'm like, I remember somebody told me, like, Wallo, you like the only person that ever I know that went to jail that said they were scared. Everybody, you notice that? Everybody else, I'm like, I don't know where y'all was at. We was at the same place. I know I was scared. What the shit? What was going on here? Like, you, but I think it's in our culture, it's cool to be tough. It's cool to act like you don't feel. It's cool to act like you ain't a human and stuff. So it's like, I ain't got time for that. I'm just telling my story as it is. I was scared to death.
Yeah, people respect it.
Yeah, oh yeah, they respect it because it's real. Like anything we like, what the, like even listen, Bill. You can like Gil or you don't. You can like me or you don't. Everybody's not gonna like you. There's 8 billion people on the planet. I don't need everybody to like me or like my story, or I don't need you. Like, it's billions of people that probably don't like us. They don't even know we exist. Do you think we care? No. We focus on the people that's our people, and we service them, man. We ain't got time for Ava. I mean, so it's like, you know, people's going to have their opinions, Bill. People just going to be like, they don't even know sometimes why they might don't like you, but they got the right to not like you, just not like you. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. But you just got to focus on what's important.
Couple more questions. I appreciate you guys spending this much time. So the podcast, touring around, has there been, y'all sit down with pretty much everybody.
Yeah.
You just pack up the equipment, go wherever and sit down. Has there been a highlight? Was there somebody, like when I'm doing this show, when I got to sit down with the guys from New Edition, I was like, oh, okay. Like, that was me. Right. Like my childhood coming up. Was there anybody you guys sat with and you're like, or somebody you want to sit with that you haven't yet?
I mean, we sat with everybody.
Everybody. So,
when you sit down with Mike Tyson.
Yeah,
Mike was funny, man.
You know what I mean? Babyface.
Deion Sanders.
You know, legends like that, Shaq. You know what I mean? It's
Babyface.
You know, it's like, because as young men, a lot of them was, you know, doing it, and you looked at, you woke up, somebody told me, you know what I mean, that the trouble went home,
right.
And you like, damn, I'm really here with them now, like, we really peers, like, they really call me to see how I'm doing, like, how you, so, you know, it's a lot of times where you look up and you understand that I'm truly blessed.
So you still have those moments?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, when you're sitting there going, yo, I'm in the room with Babyface. Conversation.
He did it at the airport. We seen Big Daddy Kane.
Mm-hmm.
He lost his mind. Big Daddy Kane looked at that nigga like, it's 5:30 in the fucking morning. Shut your dumb ass up. Making all this noise in the airport. And how did you even recognize me with a goddamn COVID mask on? He, Big Daddy Kane, love you. He like...
came on the show here. It was a similar energy.
Then he seen Michael Jordan, and Michael Jordan told him, shut up.
Now, Mike was like, Wallo.
No, he didn't. You said, Mike, he said, nigga, I'm trying to sneak in the hotel, and you going to call my fucking nigga.
All right, we're running out of time. So tell us again, you've got the KO party coming up.
Yes, December 19th, Gillian Wallo KO party.
It's going down.
Yes, right. The biggest, December 19th.
GWKOparty.com. Go there, sign up if you want to fight in a big show. I'm telling you, this is the most entertaining boxing in the world.
Right.
Gillian Wallow Knockout Party.
Right. And it's going down December 19th, 2300 Arena.
I do martial arts. I'm black belt 13 times. Yeah. Go ahead.
He's a master in jail jitsu.
Wait, you talked about you. Yeah. He got the laugh off camera that continues on.
She's dying. Mm-hmm.
This is good, though, because she gets to edit the show. Oh, so you know the stuff that's going to make it into
yes.
the show. That's all good. So that's coming up.
Yes.
Anything you guys?
Yes.
Global Gaming League. Global Gaming League is going down. It's going down in Vegas, November 18th. We can come there. We can play. We're going to be playing live if you want to catch it with the team. We're going to be playing against Howie. Mandel. And November 29th is going to be played on YouTube. Global Gaming League. Everywhere.
Yes. Don't forget to get your
YouTube. Everywhere.
Don't forget to get your Noggin Boss hats.
Noggin Boss.
Yes. Get your Noggin Boss, right.
Go get
some Gilly Groves.
That's the company name.
And Gilly Galaxy. You know what I mean? If you're in Pennsylvania, it's Gilly Groves. If you're in Jersey, it's Gilly's Galaxy.
Check out Airplanes Hotel Everywhere.
Absolutely.
We got Gilly on Sport. We got a lot of stuff going on.
Make sure y'all get Wallow Book.
Yes.
New York Times bestseller.
Yep.
And he has a new one coming out, which is probably going to be a New York Times bestseller.
But listen, the fight is going to be major. The fight is going to be explosive.
Yes.
Got some surprises.
Yes.
Some big surprises.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And we have it here in Philly, 2300 Arena.
Yes.
Man, I appreciate y'all spending time.
Like, appreciate you, Bill.
We met, you know, and saw the story. You kind of sit back, even not knowing you that well, people sit back and go, good for them. Like, I like seeing the ongoing success and the growth and all the things that are taking place. It's nice to see people who are uniting and standing behind you. And the fact that you're so committed to young people, the community.
That's what it's about, man.
To sit back and cheer for you guys. So
nobody was committed to us.
Okay.
Nobody was committed to us as young guys.
Yeah.
And we could have went and got the advice that we get these kids, man, he might not have never ended up in jail, you know what I mean, under the covers, wrestling about his,
man.
Leave that somewhere else, man.
I'm going to leave that. We normally end with how to use your voice for good, but that has been pretty
much
the whole
interview. That's how I use my voice for good.
That's what I figured. We good. I appreciate y'all. You want to come in cameras, we can see who we've been laughing at the entire time the show's been going on. This is Ivana, our producer. Y'all hear me talking to her all the time. She's rarely on camera. Appreciate you. Thank you, fellas. Appreciate it. Guys, thanks so much for listening to the Pulse with Bill Anderson podcast. Today with Gilly and Wallow sharing stories, their experiences. It's amazing all the things that they've accomplished. When you keep in mind that Wallow was released from prison less than 10 years ago, and now all of those businesses that they've put together, their involvement, their inspiration, Gilly's been doing his thing for years. So you may know him for a lot of different things, but you definitely know them. And I hope you enjoyed this as much as I did. Do me a favor, hit like, subscribe, follow, whatever pops up on your screen so you get a notification every week when another episode of The Pulse comes out. You can also download the Fox Local app so you can watch all of our episodes right there on demand. I think we're up to like 150 episodes of The Pulse. Some really cool episodes that I think that you will really enjoy. And you can hit me up on social media at BillAFox29 on all platforms. I love to hear from you. Thank you so much for listening. And I leave you today, as I always do, reminding you whenever you can, use your voice for good and have a good one.